Let's come back to our top story. Mike Nesbitt from the Ulster Unionist Party joining us today. Good morning to you, Mike.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. So we do have 410 extra million pounds into Northern Ireland because of the DUP, Mike.
Yes, and it would be churlish not to welcome it, and it's very important because without it, very, very clearly, that budget would be a potential disaster for Northern Ireland, because the underlying trend is that the Bloc grant is getting smaller and smaller in terms of its impact on its ability to help the people of Northern Ireland. So, of course, I'm going to welcome that $410 million, Stephen. But that doesn't mean you don't go on to question and drill down into it. And I do have some reservations and some points I would like to make. And the first one, and you might think this is pretty petty, and you know, in the great scheme of things, of a $12.6 billion budget, this is small beer and it's not really relevant. But there is no budget line for redress, for compensation for the victims of historical institutional abuse. And that is an obscenity, because it's now 14 months since Sir Anthony Hart published the report of that public inquiry vindicating those who said they were abused when they were young people through no fault of their own, and saying the executive should give them redress. I have sat for years in meetings at Parliament Building, Stormont House, Stormont Castle, listening to MLAs and party leaders saying, we will stand up for the vulnerable. We will not let the vulnerable suffer under Tory austerity and all the rest. And yet, the victims of institutional abuse are being slapped in the face in this budget because there is no budget line for them. That is an obscenity. I would also say, Stephen, because if you look at drill down into that $410 million, there's $20 million to tackle deprivation. Now, you remember the Social Investment Fund. That was £80 million that was promised to tackle deprivation. What happened to that? What's the correlation between the £80 million in FIF and this new $20 million? For deprivation. And in terms of...
Well, I guess, Mike, you could go through a whole list of things where people haven't got money. And look, it's a valid comment from you this morning. But at the end of the day, there is a finite pot of money. We're not going to be able to pay for everything. And this is nearly £500 million of things that are being paid for.
Yes, and I've said I welcome the money, but it is my role as an MLA to drill down and to ask questions about it. And, you know, what is severely depressing over the last 24 hours or so is listening to the mudslinging between the likes of Sammy Wilson and Máirtín O'Muillier, because that illustrates the fundamental failure of devolution, Stephen. And what the point I'm trying to make here is this. Yes, we are political opponents during an election when we go out looking for a vote. But because coalition is at the heart of devolution, the moment those votes are cast, we stop being political opponents. We are supposed to be political partners working together to mitigate the worst, for example, of Tory austerity. And we are not seeing that from representatives of the DUP and Sinn Féin. And until we do, devolution will never work.
Who do you think is going to end up making the decision here as to where this $410 million goes?
I don't know, Stephen, because
is it going to be the civil servants or Karen Bradley, the Secretary of State? Who do you think it should be among those two?
Well, that's two different questions. Who is it going to be? I don't know. You heard Claire Hannah there talking about attending two briefings this week. I also attended two briefings, but they were run by civil servants from the Northern Ireland office, who are the Imperial Civil Service, and they get their information from the Northern Ireland Civil Service, which is an entirely separate body. And I am not in any way confident, having attended those two briefings this week, that the coordination between the NIO officials and the NICS officials is as it should be. I would imagine Karen Brady and the UK government are going to have to make some of the calls. And of course, that will lead to a suspicion that, in fact, it will be the DUP who are making those calls, because, of course, they have that.
And maybe that's politics, Mike. Maybe that's life. That's politics. It's the DUP that had the mandate and the MPs that were needed to prop up the government. That's where their current power comes from. That's the way it is. Welcome to real politic.
That is the reality of the political situation at Westminster, Stephen. I am not disputing that. What I'm saying is, do I trust the DUP? No, I don't. Any more than I would trust Sinn Féin. I don't think it is a good position for the people of Northern Ireland Because to go back to that fundamental point, once an election is over, we are supposed to get together, stop being political opponents and become political partners. And it is not happening. And you know it's not happening because you hear them throwing mud, verbal mud at each other on a day and daily basis.
What about Marcino Mueller's, as he described it, next step? Have a listen to this, Mike.
The next step is the British Irish Intergovernmental Conference to look at joint stewardship, look at how we will together, Irish and British governments, yeah, of course, with local people.
Joint stewardship of what?
The joint stewardship of this place, this region, of the six counties of the north.
Your reaction to that, Mike?
I do not accept and I do not recognise this concept of joint stewardship between the British and Irish governments. We have had, for over 20 years now, a three-stranded approach which works perfectly well. It acknowledges that there are areas when the Irish government has a role to play where their opinion should be sought and listened to. But that is not joint stewardship. That is far short of joint stewardship. I do not recognise that term. I don't see it in the Belfast Agreement. Some people think it arose in the negotiations between the DUP and Sinn Féin at St Andrews. And if that is the case, I think that was a mistake on behalf of the DUP, because the three-stranded approach is the only way to continue on this basis.
Mike Nesbitt, thank you very much.